My name is not Meninder Walia. My name is Rachel Cook. Meninder was my postdoc at Southern Illinois University, and I was a professor of assistant professor in soil fertility. We both left in March, April, so this is finishing up some of the work that we did while we were at Southern Illinois University. So she's at Montana State now. I'm at North Carolina State University now. So this is wrapping up some of the stuff that we did together in Southern Illinois. So this is a project looking at deep soil carbon in a long term, it's now 45, 46 years, tillage bifertility management trial in Southern Illinois, and we had an interesting opportunity to compare this system to some nearby forest and restored prairie systems. So the background of this is no-till has been adopted across the Midwest for soil conservation purposes, but there's still some uncertainty as to what depth no-till actually affects soils, and then how soil carbon is influenced by the combination of tillage and fertilization practices. So this is a really unique, it's one of the second oldest long-term no-till sites in the Midwest, so there's a unique opportunity to get to look at some deep soil carbon. We published a couple other papers on this as well I'll talk about. And then to have this prairie and forest system just right nearby that we could compare to was pretty unique. So just a real quick overview. It's a very flat site, somewhat poorly drained soil. It started in 1970, 1990 it was continuous corn, 1991 to present it's been in a corn-soybean rotation. And once it was rotated, it got fertilized every year in the continuous corn, and then it got fertilized only in the corn years once we switched to corn-soybean rotation. And they switched it mainly because more people in the area were going to a corn-soybean rotation, so it kind of made sense for what was common there. So the treatments, and you can see, I'll use my little mouse here. So the site, so Carbondale's down here with the little star. The site is up here near Belleville, close to St. Louis with the big star. So there's four tillage treatments, conventional till or moldboard plow, chisel, and then an alternate till, which is kind of a combination of 2 years of no-till, 1 year of moldboard plow to see if you till every now and then, how does it affect things, and then continuous no-till. For the fertility treatments, we had a control, an in-only. This thing kind of blinks in and out. Okay, so we have a control, an in-only, and then three NPK treatments. Those NPK treatments all got the same amount, but we had NPK broadcasts, and the other two were some splits with different amounts of starter fertilizer. And those were discontinued because it showed, I think it was 2001, everything was turned to broadcast because the starter fertilizer treatments didn't make any difference at all. So now everything is NPK broadcast. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of the residue cover out there, so that you've got the no-till control up here. With a fair amount of residue cover, you add nitrogen, it starts to degrade some of the residue cover, and then you put NPK on, and you get a lot more productivity, a lot more residue cover. Compared to conventional control, or conventional NPK, where you have basically no residue cover. So that's a big difference. So the long-term plots are up here in the upper left corner. The prairie plots, this is a different study. Prairie restoration study that happened to be about 10 years old, and we thought, ooh, that's right next door. Why don't we go sample that, too? So that's about 150 meters away, and then over here and where we could get into the forest with a soil probe truck, that's about 600 meters away, so we sampled that as well to do some comparisons. Just to give you a little bit of background on why we were kind of interested in this, so this is from a paper we published in 2016 with this little mouse is not working. So if you look at the 2013 on the right-hand side, you see that one really tall bar that is no-till NPK. So this is organic matter from loss on ignition. Okay, so this is slightly different than soil carbon. But you see the only treatment that really gained a lot of carbon in the top 15 centimeters, this is top 15 centimeters, was the no-till NPK, and all the rest of them were basically the same. It also gained carbon, has a little delta over it. It gained carbon from 1990 when we had good soil samples. So that was some of the background. That far right-hand bar increased, so that was at 2.76%. All the rest of them have a mean at about 2.05%. So even if you think about, you know, no-till for 45 years, still only going to increase about 0.7% organic matter for that long a period of time. So a lot of people have really big ideas about how much organic matter they're going to gain, 45 years of no-till shows compared to the others, you're only talking 0.7% organic matter. And this is just to show, if you kind of look over here, this is stratification, so this is by soil depth. We had this idea, or we could see that most of that accumulation, so this is more carbon over here, most of that accumulation was occurring in the top 2 inches or 5 centimeters. So most of the action that's going on is in the very top. Okay, so there's a lot of tables here, but I want to highlight what you actually need to look at. So this is bulk density. So first of all, we looked at bulk density just to look at some soil physical properties. The only things that actually mattered are the ones that are highlighted in red boxes. So if you look, and this is per depth going across, so in the top 15 centimeters, we had much lower bulk density with no-till. And so people have seen different trends with this, but we actually saw less bulk density with no-till in the 0 to 15, and then also in the 25 to 50. Why we didn't see a difference in 15 to 25, I have no idea, but that's what we saw. For concentrations, and then we'll go to stocks. The other thing is not a big surprise. We had higher concentrations in no-till in 0 to 15, but then what's interesting is when you go down to the 15 to 25, you actually have higher concentrations in the moldboard plow, right? Because the moldboard plow is turning everything over and distributing it farther down into the profile. So if you go to the soil carbon stocks, this little mouse disappears quickly. So if you go to soil carbon stocks, bulk density times concentration times depth, then you've got higher soil carbon stocks in that no-till than any of the other tillages in the 0 to 15, and it gets a little bit it's a little bit different in the 15 to 25. Let me go. I've got a bar graph here. It shows a little bit better. So this is that was looking at main effects. This is looking at the interaction. You know, and the thing that really stands out here is in the 0 to 15, which is the top graph, all the big bars are your no-till NPK. So you know, the takeaway here is no-till NPK is your best solution for increasing organic matter. But going back, the thing that you'll notice in soil carbon stocks is 25 down for these increments in 25 down to 100, nothing is going on. So there's really no reason to sample down to 100 centimeters. You can just go to 25 centimeters, and you're basically going to be telling the whole story in these particular soils. Let me go back. And then if you want to look just at the 0 to 25 in soil carbon stocks, this little mouse goes away. Okay. If you look at just the 0 to 5 in the 0 to 25 in the stocks. So again, no-till is doing better. So yes, no-till does accumulate more soil carbon, and it was similar to alternate-till for that. Looking at surface residue, so we also went back and measured surface residue in these different treatments. And so one of the things that you'll notice here, let's just look at in the surface residue, so first column. So basically everything but moldboard plow had higher surface residue, and if you combine the surface residue with the 100 centimeter sample, then it's a little bit fuzzy. So it's not a real good standout. You know, no-till obviously did better than anything else. Once you put that whole 100 meter profile together, for fertilizers it doesn't make any difference at all, and for tillage, there's a lot of overlap. So no-till does sort of best, chisel-till does sort of worst, and the other two are kind of in between. Okay, so going to the forest and restored prairie, which is here with different increments. So this table is a little bit confusing because of the way we did it, but so just look at the bullet points. So basically the main takeaway here was for the 0 to 15 centimeters, forest soils were similar to NPK no-till and greater than all other ag treatments. And then in the prairie soils, we had prairie soil was similar to controlled. We just picked out a couple of the ag treatments so that it was manageable. And no-till and chisel-till were kind of on the spectrum. So prairie soil was similar to chisel-till control, but lower than all the other ag treatments, which was kind of a surprise because most of us think prairie soils should be just pumping tons of carbon into the soil, right? And if you go below 15 centimeters, forest soil stocks were actually less than all the cultivated treatments, and I'll show you a graph here in a second. And the other thing, in the lower treatments, or from 75 to 100, prairie was actually similar to cultivated treatments. So let me show you a couple graphs here. So this is bulk density. So forest, the forest soils had a much lower bulk density than everything else. Prairie and the ag treatments were about the same. And then, so this to me is the most interesting part of the whole study. So you've got the forest is the brown line here. So if you had just sampled to, 25 centimeters, you would say that forest soils have more carbon. But then as you go down and follow, so this is cumulative soil carbon stocks as you go down. Once you get down to the 0 to 100 profile, then your forest actually has less than the NPK no-till. So granted, you know, these are not on the exact same soil, and it's not a replicated study, because the forest can't be in the ag plots, you know. But just comparatively speaking, on relatively similar sites, NPK no-till actually did better than the restored prairie or the forest soil, which we were a little bit surprised about. And then all of the ag treatments were kind of more or less overlapping, except NPK no-till did a little bit better. Okay, so to sum up, so bulk density was lower in no-till than the Mulberry plow treatment. The complete NPK treatments generally resulted in higher C stocks than in only or control, which is not a big surprise because you had a lot more productivity in the treatments where you have NPK. No-till increased soil C stocks compared to tillage treatments, which again is not a huge surprise, but most of that action is happening in the top 15 and maybe top 25 centimeters. So the takeaway here is you don't actually need to go buy a soil probe truck. You can get away with doing 15 or 25 centimeters. So no-till NPK maintained greater cumulative soil carbon, which this was kind of a surprise to us, than either forest or restored prairie soils. And this restored prairie had been in going for about 10 years. And then finally, I didn't show this data, but no-till NPK had the most increase, and we calculated from the original samples that were taken in 1970, that it had been increasing by 0.36 megagrams carbon per hectare per year, which is actually a pretty decent rate of increase. So that's all I have. I think we'll have time for just a couple questions. That's my new email. You can also email Menender. And I have to give a big thanks to Ron, especially Ron Krause, who maintained these plots for so very long, the farm assistant Ron Beckley, and then Andrew Trelisa, who went back and did a ton of digging to get a lot of this historic information. So that's all I got. And I think we have a couple minutes for questions. I was afraid you were going to ask that. Okay. so the question was, what were the treatments on the prairie restoration? So they burned every couple of years. It was basically a split plot design where the whole, part of the split was the species association. And Randy, I don't know if you remember this because you were out sampling some of those plots. Yeah, he's going to hide his eyes. So it had to do with the species association, and then the main treatment was, this wasn't my experiment, so I'm trying to remember. It's in the paper.
Do you remember if they were fertilized?
They were not fertilized. They were burned, but they weren't fertilized.
So your soil is very nutrient-deficient.
Yeah. So it would be, that's one reason why we compared the treatments we did here is that we had the no-till NPK and the no-till control. So the no-till control hasn't had any fertilizer for 45 years. So it actually would be probably more nutrient deficient than the restored prairie. So that's why we pulled in those control treatments, both the chisel-till and the no-till control to compare, because those haven't had any fertilizer in 45 years. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah. I knew I should have put that slide in here. So there's a great paper, Cook and Trelisa, 2016, in the Agronomy Journal that talks all about the productivity, if you'd like to read it. Basically, the productivity the end productivity statement is that so long as you put NPK fertilizer on in any of these methods, all the yields are the same. So no-till, chisel-till, mulberplow, alt-till, statistically they're all the same. So long as you put on NPK fertilizer, tillage is whatever, it doesn't matter. And so we actually just did an economic analysis on it too, which is coming out next year. Yeah. So it's not a difference in productivity between the chisel-till and the no-till on the NPK ones there. Okay. Any other burning questions?